Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It's July 28, 2014. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and let me ask our secretary, Michael Novick, to please call the roll.
Teresa Allen, KPFT. Carolyn Burton, WBAI.
Hello.
Fred Blair, KPFK. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Yeah.
Elena Castellanos, KPFT. She was here earlier. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Kim Kaufman, KPFK.
I'm here.
Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Hank Lamb, KPFT.
Present.
Bob Lederer, the chair, WBAI, is there. Frank Lefevre, WBAI.
Present.
Excuse me? That was not Frank.
It didn't sound like Frank. Huh?
No.
I'm driving hard. All I heard was the BAI part. Sorry.
Sorry. Michael Lovick is here, secretary from KPFK. Lawrence Reyes,
president of KPFK.
Buttering Roberts, president. Richard Uzzell, KPFT. Margie Wilkinson, KPFA.
I'm here.
Jane Zara, WPFW.
I'm here.
At least 10. I just turned around to Mary Elena Castellanos. It might be 11. 10 is the quorum.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. All right. Can I have a volunteer, please, to be a timekeeper? You just have to tell us when time on each item is up.
Yeah, I can do that, Bob.
Is that Jim?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jim. Okay, I'll announce the times for each item. All right, so I submitted a draft agenda. I'll read it for the stream, and then we can discuss it. First is status of National Election Supervisor job applications, budget status, membership list cleanup, and possible next steps. That's all one combined item. I forgot to reduce that. Last time we had 40 minutes, but I don't think there's so much to talk about there, so why don't we shorten that to 20 minutes. Okay, next is report of timeline working group and next steps, which, because I heard that they didn't meet, I just put 5 minutes on that. But, you know, if folks want to change that, we can. Three is letter to nonprofits, discussion and update, 15 minutes. Four would be next steps on cost-cutting measures and discussion of whether to draft an RFP for a request for proposals for balloting and tabulation services. I have 30 minutes for that. Five is just an announcement of the next committee meeting, which we had already set Tuesday, August 19th, just 2 minutes. And then finally, if we have time, the status of the 2012 and 2013 committee motions that were never acted on by the PMB. I have 15 minutes for that, and then a time-certain adjournment of 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So, are there any amendments, or is there any discussion?
Calendar stack.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the number six, is there a list of those motions handy somewhere now? I mean,
yeah, I don't have it right at this moment, but... you know, I can search for it during the call if we get to that item.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay. So are there any objections to adopting this agenda? Okay, hearing none, then that's adopted. So let's begin. Jim, the first item is 20 minutes. Again, it's status of NES, job applications, budget status, membership list cleanup, and possible next steps. So let's start with the NES. So Margie, why don't you update us on the job posting and anything that's happened since then?
Sure. So the job was reposted on the Pacifica webpage, and I asked each of the GMs to make sure that it was there was a link to it posted on their individual web pages. I haven't checked that, so I don't know whether that happened or not. Everybody's in fundraising mode right now, so it's a little hard to get them to do anything, but I will check on it. We've received, and Jim Brown wrote a really nice announcement, which I also sent to the stations and asked them to air, encouraging people to apply and to check out the posting on the webpage. We've had no responses. There have been no responses to any.
Oh, and if I can just add, I saw on the website that the deadline listed is August 15th.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's been no response. We've had no responses. I checked with the admin assistant in the office just before I left today, and she said she's not received any response. Okay.
Excuse me, Carolyn, one sec. Let me finish, sorry.
Okay. It's not much. Let me just finish, and then we can deal with
all
of
it. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Margie.
I raised the issue of cleaning up the lists on the call with everybody, the GMs and the PDs, last Thursday, and then I forwarded to them a list I got from Bob. That talked about places to go to get this done, and I've not had any feedback from any of that. But, you know, we'll see. And I think that's it. Did I cover everything?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so I heard Carolyn first, and then Jane.
Yeah, I understand there actually was an application. We're talking about application for the national supervisor job.
There,
wasn't sent to Mika, and then to who was functioning now as office manager.
There were three that were posted, as I recall. I haven't actually looked at them myself, but it was Bernard got three of them, and he was the one who recommended that we repost it because he thought it was not a strong enough pool. But I'd be happy to check in the office tomorrow and see what those are.
Okay. Janet? Okay.
Yeah, maybe I missed it, but what is the budget status for CNES?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that they're working extra hard in the national office to figure out where everybody is at in relationship to their budget for this year, and Raul hopes to I think he plans to have a report on that in the next couple of days. So we don't actually know what the situation is. I asked the GMs to check on that, but anyway.
And let me also, just for the streams, since perhaps even there are some committee members that didn't have access to email this evening, I reposted the motion we sent, the motion we passed last time on this topic, but let me just read it so we're all clear where we stand on this budget issue. It reads, the PNB Elections Committee requests that the National Finance Committee do an assessment of the capacity of each of the five stations and the national office to cover the expenses of the 2014 delegate elections based on the assumption that the electoral calendar will span both fiscal years 2014 and 2015. This should include a review of amounts included in the fiscal year 2014 budget for elections and amounts actually available for that purpose. The Elections Committee suggests using the actual expenses of the 2012 election as the guideline while it works to find ways to lower the expenses. The Elections Committee requests that this analysis be provided by the National Finance Committee by August 15, 2014. So that's what we passed last time. And, Michael, I assume you passed that on to the National Finance Committee?
The last meeting of the National Finance Committee is predominantly an executive session that had to deal with some different aspects of the budget or the current situation. So I sent it on. It'll probably be taken up at the next meeting, which I think is on the 12th.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, so does anyone...
I have a question. I'm sorry. Yeah,
well, hold on. Let me ask. Hold on one second. Is anyone else who hasn't spoken yet want to either have a question or a comment on any of this?
I would like to comment.
Is that Jane?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Jane.
Okay, so I understand that we have to inquire of these other bodies as to the funding. But it seems that there's a deeper philosophical question, which is, this is an election of boards, of local station boards, and the Pacifica has a duty to comply with the bylaws to help make that happen. So we can only do so many things. We can only pull so many rabbits out of our hats, but what we need is a commitment. I know, like, the board size is in dispute right now, and the costs of having elections are sort of major issues in light of the finances. Who keeps hearing it? But it's a philosophical question. It's a question of, we have to do this, and, you know, we are charged to do this because of the bylaws, and we got to work with the national office to do this. So what can you do to provide the resources to make this happen? Because we are really trying. And so, you know, I think, you know, while we're waiting for all these responses from national, we have to sort of keep in mind that all we're trying to do is fulfill our mission. We're not on some power trip, and we need to figure out the best way to do it, or decide that the local station boards are irrelevant, but don't marginalize them financially. You know, don't do it de facto. Let's just talk about it, because we have to fulfill our mission, and it's supposed to be a democratic function. So, and I'm done.
Okay.
Margie West wants to be on the list.
Okay.
And
well,
Janet Kay. Okay.
All right, let me go back to Carolyn first, and then we'll hear from Margie and Janet.
Yeah, sorry, thank you. Margie, I understand there was at least one application that was put in that actually someone who said he was very flexible on the payment issue, and I can't believe that you haven't received that yet, because it went in first to Tamika and then to the current manager. Do you mean there's actually no indications of interest or applications for the National Election Supervisor job?
Well, I'm sorry. I haven't really looked at these things because I've been doing other things. I apologize. I will look at them, absolutely, and let you know what I find out. I took Bernard at his word when he said that he felt that we needed to increase the applicant pool to...
Wait a minute. There was none, or you need to increase it? I'm not sure what
Bernard
you're saying here. And also, when was it? What date was
hold
it?
On, hold on.
Left.
Okay, let me explain. Just before he left, I asked Bernard what the situation was with this, and he said there were three applications for position. And that it was, and he sent a message to this committee, I believe. Am I making that up?
No, that's correct. And
okay.
We discussed it on one of the open calls. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm like, what happened? Because my brain is sore. Okay, so he sent a note to this committee saying that there were some applications, but that he felt overall and I think maybe he said there were three applications, that overall that there weren't enough applicants in the pool to initiate a process which would involve hiring someone. So I have not looked at it further. I will look at it, and I will be happy to report back to this group what I find.
I'm sorry, but I'm really distressed at this.
Three for the stack, please.
Okay. First you say there were none, and then you said there were three, but that's
I never
not
said
enough.
There were none, that's Carolyn. I never said there were none.
I thought I heard you say there were no applications.
No, I never said that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth, please. It's hard enough.
Well, what determines not enough? I mean, three is good, considering our circumstances.
Okay. Excuse me, Karen. Just let Mallory answer, and then there's other people on the stack. So
Thank you. You're
doing a lot of back and forth. Go ahead,
okay.
Mallory.
I'm done. I have nothing else to say.
Okay, yeah, Margie made it clear from the beginning. She was talking about no new applications since the job was reposted. Okay, now next I had Janet and...
What was the date of that? I'm sorry, I missed the reposting date.
It just happened, whatever someone can tell me. I don't know, like last week. Whenever it was within a few days after this committee made the decision to repost it.
Right. Okay, so I heard Janet and Serene, and I think there was a third person. Who was that who wanted to speak or not? Okay, all right, so Janet and then Serene.
Why doesn't Serene go first because she hasn't spoken yet?
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Serene.
Now we've lost her.
Hello?
Serene, are you there? All right, we'll come back to Serene. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, so two things. One, I had mentioned at the last meeting that maybe we could work with the personnel committee to post the job, the NES job, along with their posting for ED. But what the feedback that we got there was that this particular, I just wanted to let you guys know that the kinds of postings all over the place are not necessary for this particular position because it's not a regular position, it's temporary. So that's one thing. Another thing I wanted to bring up is I think we might, I don't know whether it would be this committee or the governance committee or the PNB, look at Article 4, Section 10, filling of vacancies as, I don't know, what we might end up having to look at. So just that I wanted to mention that.
Are you talking about LSB vacancies?
Yeah. Yeah, and just in terms of elections and all that, and
for delegates,
it's a larger issue, yeah. But than this particular topic, the NES position.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Thanks, so Serene. Are you back?
Hi. Yeah. Thanks. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So my concern. I appreciate what Jane said about, making sure that we get the elections done, finding somebody to get the elections done. But you're printing money, and I know we're waiting for the financial reports now. You're printing money. I have serious doubts about how we're going to pay for any of this, even if we were able to find, people to serve, qualified people to serve as election supervisors. The postage is not going to be free. The printing, even if we get that donated, there are a lot of expenses that are involved in the process. I don't think it's a matter of will, and I'm not saying that was your statement, Jane, but I assure you there are people at the PNB who want elections every bit as much as anyone else. And some of us more than others. But I personally doubt, knowing that at least two stations are not making their budget, their current year's budget, in terms of operating expenses, certainly in terms of paying central services and so forth, I am very doubtful that we're going to find, unless we find a lot of money, I just have serious questions about whether or not any of this is going to be possible. And I guess with regard to the NES hire, I think we need to be more sure of the institutional ability to pay the cost of the election, that, you know, before we actually engage too much of others' time and energy. Thanks.
I'm sorry. I had asked to be on. This is Margaret. Asked to be on the list previously.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Because I wanted to speak to this issue. I wanted.
Michelle speaking.
I'm sorry. This is Margaret. I apologize. I got involved in that. The question about the applications and forgot to say that what I wanted to say was that the fact of the matter is that the institution has real serious problems financially, and so I'm hoping that people will understand that I sort of get the impression that people think that maybe there's money at the national office that's being withheld that could be used for this project, and I just want to reassure you that that's not the case, that it's not that we have money, you know, we're just doing the best we can, kind of scraping by. And so I wanted to share that with people so that people are not under the misapprehension that somehow, you know, the national office is hanging on to money that could be used to pay for elections, because that's not the case. And like Serene said, I personally think that elections are incredibly important, and I was terribly dismayed that we didn't have elections last year, and I'm slightly horrified at the idea that we might not have elections again this year. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Let me ask Jim, how many minutes left of the 20 minutes?
You've got 3 minutes left.
Okay. Any last round before we move on?
Michael, go back.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
I just think realistically,
can you adjust your phone? It's kind of distorted.
Yeah. Realistically, any election that takes place is going to have to be in the next fiscal year. And I think the question of, you know, what the station's current fiscal picture is almost moot, because nobody's getting hired out of this year's budget for this election. You know, I think the assessment has to be made as we draft budgets for next year about what the prospects are to finance the elections one with the other, requirements of maintaining the station. And see where we're at.
Okay.
And Carolyn, on the stats for the last
sure.
30 seconds if we have them.
Yeah.
Thank you. I understand that there is some monies that have not been accounted for, $60,000 in the KPFA budget and some sequestered funds that the CFO has not addressed or reassigned or figured out how to free up. So I do suspect that there is money somewhere if we can just keep at it and looking for it. I don't accept the fact that there is no money this year. I just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Point of information, that's just Lawrence.
Yes, Lawrence.
I know the station's budgeted. Isn't it part as a line item in their budgets to have the election budgeted for?
Yes. Margie, did you want to address that? I mean, that's clearly true, but the question is the reality versus the projection a year ago.
I'm not on the finance committee, and I don't actually feel qualified to answer that question.
Okay. Let me ask Michael.
Yeah, 1 minute left. Bob.
Yeah, the NSC last year did ask all five stations and the national office to include financing for elections in this fiscal year, in the current fiscal year 2014 budget. But my impression decisions that I'm aware of, is that the finances are falling short of the budgeted income, and therefore expenses have to be cut just to maintain the operation. So,
did I get on stack?
Is that Jane?
Yeah,
Bob. Time.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
If I can finish my sentence.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
We're waiting to get income and expenses statement from the CFO by the end of July through June in the fire stations and the national office. That will not be a complete budget for the current fiscal year because they still don't have the audited financial totals for the 2013 that will roll over into 2014, but it'll at least give us a picture of the cash flow and the current realities. But that's, we're still awaiting that.
Okay, so we're at time, so Jane wanted to speak. Is there any objection to a 3-minute extension? Okay, hearing none, then suspended. So go ahead, Jane.
Okay, I'll be brief. So my question remains, what are the bylaws, and do we have a duty to push forward with the elections? And maybe Janet or someone mentioned there are alternative ways to fill the board, but I just want to be consistent with the bylaws and the mission and what this subcommittee is about. But the other thing is, in terms of bringing in a larger discussion about the finance committee, I think that really is not in order, and it's not in the purview of this committee. We just have to figure out what our duty is to be compliant with the bylaws and what we need as a minimal compliance from national office in order to assure that. Now, we could go station by station and say some people are under and some people are over, and that's a really controversial issue right now because I speak for PSW, and I know we have been paying out settlements to lawsuits for incompetent managers, and we've been charged without having any say at all to pay for a settlement with John Hughes. And I want to say that, you know, we're gagged. We can't talk about it in public. We're going to bring in a larger discussion about who's falling short and who isn't.
Say something before you go on.
Thank you,
Jane. It is not appropriate to name the names of individuals who have been a subject or may have been a subject of any kind of legal action. That's not.
I'm talking about payout to individuals. I'm talking about payout from WPFW to individuals. It's nothing more. It's nothing less. So if we're going to talk about a larger discussion about finances, I really suggest that we keep this committee's discussion to what our role is and what we as a minimum can demand from the national office to move forward for this for all stations. That's all.
Okay. Who else wanted to speak on this?
Can you speak up?
Who else wanted to speak on this?
Jim.
Jim, go ahead.
Is there any way, I hate asking this question because I don't think there is. Is there any way of getting the election done, period? We don't have money, but is there a way to do it at the individual stations and then report back to national what the results are? That's probably not legal, but I'm just wondering. I wanted to know, is there any way of getting it done?
In reality, I support it.
Okay.
Carolyn Alistair.
Carolyn, and then Hank.
Thank you. I understand that at least one of the applicants for I understand at least one of the applicants for the NES job has offered to be very flexible in how soon he will be paid. That's one issue. And another issue is we really need to explore electronic balloting because the PNB has mandated us to do that, and that also will save us a fortune if we can get it together enough to agree on how to do electronic balloting. So those two cost-saving measures are out there. And I think if we rework a budget figuring in those items, we may actually be able to afford it. Thank you.
Okay. Before I call on the other people, let me remind folks what's on the agenda, because we're getting into topics that are very important, but they're later on the agenda. One is the letter to the nonprofits, and an update on what's happened as a result of that, and, you know, perhaps next steps with getting more help from nonprofits on the election process to cut costs. And the next item after that is the next steps on cost-cutting measures. So we do have that coming up very soon. All right, so I heard, Hank, did you want to speak? Well, actually, let me ask Jim, aren't we out of time now?
No, yeah, we're out. Time's up.
Okay. So, yeah, so then why don't we go next? Let's put off the report of the timeline working group till a little later in the agenda, and let's just go directly to the letter to the nonprofits, which I think bears on the discussion we just had. So, we put out that letter a couple weeks ago, and I know that Jane at PFP.
Bob, what's on this?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 15 minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Jane at WPFW took some initiative, and you want to report back on what you did and what the results are. And I know Margie has something, too, on that.
Okay. Okay, briefly, FairVote said thanks. They responded promptly and said, we can only help with educational materials and give feedback, but we don't want to do real work. The Great Panthers have not responded. I will put another message out and call people. The chair and the vice chair, the NLG, did not post it.
The National Lawyers Guild.
Sorry, I'm going to prompt them on that. The League of Women Voters said they don't do STV. And I'm the CPB. I got to check the website because I asked for them to post that, and they should. So we'll follow through on that. And that's it.
Okay, thanks, Jane. Margie, you want to add?
Yeah, we got an email from a Washington D.C. lawyer. We got an email from a Washington D.C. lawyer who is a member of the National Lawyers Guild, who said that his firm has helped in other kinds of elections. I had a very brief conversation with him today, and one of the things he mentioned in his email was a discounted rate, and when I asked him what he thought a discounted rate was, he told me that they normally charge $100 an hour to do this, and they might be able to do it for they normally charge $200 an hour, and they might be able to do it for $100 an hour. And what they're not really offering handling the election. What they've done this for outfits like community public housing community boards that, you know, sort of are like tenants associations for public housing, and so what they're offering is essentially to oversee the election, but not to in any way run the election. So I just, you know, I said thank you, and I said I would report back to you guys, and we could decide what we wanted to do about it.
Okay, and didn't he make some reference to that having seen this on the National Lawyers Guild listserv?
Yeah, he said. That's what he said.
Yeah,
I was surprised when Jane said that it had been implemented there.
Yeah,
sorry, I guess I missed the beat on that. And that's good. But I'm just wondering if anyone else on this committee has posted any solicitations, as we all agreed to do?
Michael, is a sec.
Go ahead, Michael.
I sent it out. We may be how it got to the Lawyers Guild listserv because Jim Lafferty and Honor Boyd is the executive director of the Lawyers Guild in LA, and he got it. I ordered it. I did contact the League of Women Voters in LA, which does do election supervision, and tabulation, and the initial conversation I had, they said that they don't do e-balloting at all, only paper ballots, but they did send me a questionnaire, which I filled out and sent back, and they haven't responded to. So I need to get back and find out why they didn't respond, or what services they might provide in the context of not maybe doing the whole election, but, you know, helping with some of the supervision and not the tabulation.
Okay. Did anyone else want to respond as to any follow up on that, the letter?
This is Margie. I didn't send the letter to anybody, but I did talk to the League.
Very faint.
I'm sorry. I talked to someone in the League of Women Voters here. I talked to the person who answered the phone when I called, and she said they don't do STV voting. So I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe that's a local area thing. Anyhow, she said don't bother to send us anything.
Yeah, it's league by league. Each chapter is different.
I see.
Nobody does it
except us. Okay.
Okay.
But I didn't. So I didn't send her the letter.
Okay. Anyone else on this point about the letter or follow-up?
Yeah, this is Lawrence.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
So I send it to my contact at the Latino Voting Registration, Latino Voters League, and at the William Velasquez Institute. And I still have not heard anything back from them. So I don't know if they, I don't know exactly what it is that they do with the elections. I know they do a lot of voter protection and registration. I just don't know if they do the STV balloting or have any inkling as to what that is. So, but I'm gonna follow up.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Janet. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I realized that I was going to try to send something or contact Californians for electoral reform and California IRB Coalition, other organizations. Did not do that yet, but they are familiar with STV. I will try to do that soon.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, the next part of this, before we go to the next item, is that Janet had some wording change to propose to one of the items concerning e-voting. So, Janet, do you want to present that now? She already posted it to the list in case folks are not at their computers.
Right, and it has to do with the e-balloting item 11 in the draft announcement for balloting and tabulation services, outreach to see if we could get any kind of entity to help us. I first want to just say that it's my understanding the PNB did not mandate e-balloting. What it did approve is an option to do e-balloting. But in any case, I've talked about how I've issues with e-balloting and hacking and other kinds of irregularities that can happen through e-balloting. I'm totally against it, but if it's going to go ahead, I would want to have some controls in place, and that's what my change was about, putting controls in place to basically have the e-balloting process done similar to the written ballot, to have both a physical ballot plus a file with data in it. To make and the physical, I'm sorry, some kind of image that the voter can request sort of a copy of their ballot if they're voting online. So that should be generated from the same data that is put into some file. So at least, and so to have an image of that as though it were a paper ballot would be a way of being able to cross-check and audit the e-balloting. So I wrote it up in a way that kind of describes it that way. So I like that language to replace what the one sentence, the first sentence in what is already there. I can read it. I mean, for those who are listening, The original letter says, convert each accepted e-ballot to a line in a text ballot file for input into Tally program as above. And then there's another sentence. So that would be replaced by, and this is, I know this is somewhat technical, but for each accepted e-ballot, create one text e-ballot data file to be used for input into the Tally program as above, which is the same as the paper ballot. Use the same text e-ballot data file to create an e-ballot print file for each e-ballot. This e-ballot print file is to be used to print a copy of the voter's completed e-ballot if requested, and also used to create an e-ballot image file. Text e-ballot data files and e-ballot print files are to be provided to Pacifica, grouped and identified as described in 10 above, which that's, again, the paper ballot. So this is pretty much similar to what it requires for paper ballots.
Okay, so Janet is proposing that the letter that some people have already been using to reach out to nonprofits to see what kind of help, either discounted or free, that they can provide us, be amended to have this more detailed and explicit explanation of how any e-balloting option would have to include an ability to create an individual print file for each e-ballot. So we can now have discussion on her proposed amendment to the letter.
Great.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I appreciate the effort that went into preparing this, and I think it's fine to institute it as practice if, in fact, we are going to be using electronic balloting, but it is way too much detail for a letter, a canvas letter.
Okay,
Carolyn on this one?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of years ago, I investigated for this committee the system that my college uses, which has a very complicated system. They have elections for faculty and then the classified staff, which include housekeepers, secretaries, and so on. And then within those ranks, they have full-time and part-time faculty and staff, so that it's a complicated election, and I was very impressed with how smoothly it came off, and I contacted the company that did it and asked them, and then I reported to this committee. Somewhere there are some files floating around that haven't been lost in our various initiatives, from VoteNet, and I urge you all to go to VoteNet.org's website. One of the things that impressed me was that at the end of the balloting, which was very smooth, and we had no warning that this was coming up, by the way. We were just told that the college has converted to e-balloting, and here's your password, and here's your code, and vote. So I went to the web screen, and I voted. And at the end of the process, a note came up that said, you know, do you want to print out your ballot? And that impressed me. I said, no, it's all right. I trust you guys. And they said, you cannot leave the screen until you print out your ballot. So I was forced to actually print out a paper copy of my ballot on my printer, which really impressed me, which is what made me call them up and talk to them about their security and their process and so on. So I suggest, I think that would answer Jan's objection, and I think that that's a really important point. That there's an actual photocopy with a code, with my password, which was a number. And if I ever questioned it, I should refer to the printout that I had plus the number of my ballot for validation. So there are some companies, at least one that I know of, that addresses that issue, and I think that that would ease a lot of people's fears about the whole process. So I'll be glad to send you more information about VoteNet. Well, not before, but there's some new people on the committee, so I'll be happy to send it to you if anyone's interested.
Excuse me, Bob, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Who else wants to speak on this, on Janet's proposal to modify the letter? All right. Well, if no one else wants to speak,
Michael Zusak.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Then I'll call myself.
Yeah.
I kind of agree it's a little detailed for the letter, although I agree with the sentiment and think it probably should be incorporated into any request or proposal that we draft. You know, maybe a more general statement about the need for you know, reproducibility of the ballots without going to so much detail could be included.
Yeah, actually, Michael said pretty much what I was about to say. Maybe we could just agree on some very simple phrase to add to the existing sentence as convert each accepted e-ballot to a line in a text ballot file for input into Tally program as above. Maybe we could add, and also an e-ballot print file for each ballot. And then, you know, the details obviously are going to have to get worked out later anyway, but just to indicate that that's a capability that we want. And how it would work, and you know, where it has to be sent, that can be dealt with later. So, Jana, would that be okay with you as a way to handle that?
Well,
the details. I mean, this is not
sort of okay. It's just that the item 10 is pretty detailed. So
right, but this
I don't know
the
what
blueprint.
This
is not the blueprint. This is a letter to nonprofits about helping. Can you help us? Later, we're going to get into the, you know, blow by blow. This is exactly, if we go the e-balloting route at all, then we'll get into the blow by blow on exactly how it is to be implemented. We haven't gotten that far yet. So this is just a, you know, kind of a very vague sketch of what's needed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I think I would be outvoted to include that, but I wanted to put across my concerns about this kind of voting, and I think I think I've been heard. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Well, you know, I just wanted to tell Janet Kay that I'm also very skeptical about e-voting, and I will certainly, you know, support those safeguards that she suggested. Because I believe that that this is such a nuance that this could possibly be very disenfranchising to people who are behind the digital divide. So, you know, I certainly will advocate for when we get there. I guess I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm very skeptical about e-voting for our elections. So, yeah, because it seems like there's a lot to work out. There's a lot of glitches and stuff that needs to be worked out, a lot of the logistics. So, yeah, that's my cue.
Okay.
Could I get on the stack for a minute?
Okay, hang on. We're out of time on this, so if we're going to have further discussion, we need an extension.
I'd like to extend 5 minutes.
Okay, so let me just ask, how many people want to speak on this topic?
Hank.
Me?
Hank. Jane, you should say your name when you want to speak. I can't
Jane.
Really recognize.
Jane,
the two of you, and then I want to speak. That's three. Anyone else? Okay, so any objection to a 5-minute extension? Okay, so Jane, Hank, and me. Go ahead, Jane.
Okay, so from what I understand, email is going to be an option. It's not going to preclude snail mail because, you know, at PSW we have the underrepresented who don't have, like, wards 7 and 8, 5% have computer access. So we want to accommodate the underrepresented. But my main point is, getting back to this whole voluntary thing, I hope that people who haven't put solicitations out to nonprofits to either email Bob and Margie about links that they should send out the solicitations to, but I think we all have to follow through on our commitment in the subcommittee to try to get affordable labor and volunteer labor, and we have to think about the connections we have in the communities because we all decided that we were going to do that. And plus or minus the email, you know, the e-service, whatever, which is an option in this letter, I don't think it should undermine our push forward to try to solicit nonprofits to help us or people to help us. So what I see, and I'll just finish, what I see is a tendency in all the subcommittees that I belong to and the board that I belong to is a real fighting spirit about debating issues, which is good. But when we really decide on tasks and everyone has to put their sweat equity in and say, I'm going to do this because I committed to this subcommittee to do this labor, I really want to push that because I find that woefully deficient in all the subcommittees and the boards that I serve on in Pacific and PSW. And that's it.
Okay.
Point of information, Carolyn, please.
Yeah.
I think that the topic is really about electronic balloting, not email balloting, as we all use those terms interchangeably, but they really
What's
are
your
not.
Question, Carolyn? A point of information.
The question,
question.
Is, can we please clarify that when we're discussing this, we're talking about electronic balloting, not email balloting? That's just
that's
common problem. Well, I'm asking you to ask people to clarify what they mean.
That's fine.
There's a difference.
That's
Thank you.
Totally okay, but folks should wait in line when they want to speak as opposed to ask a question. Go ahead, Hank.
Okay, well, one thing, I have a question for the group, and that is, do any of you personally know hackers? Anyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you repeat that again, Hank? I didn't hear you.
I was asking if anyone here personally knows hackers. And I got two yeses. That's kind of surprising. Also,
and a third yes.
Okay, a third yes. Okay, so oddly enough, three of us know hackers. What's even more odd is that we're worried about hackers at Pacifica. We're not on anybody's radar for hacking. Unless the people that are involved in our elections want it hacked. So that would be either A, people that know hackers, B, hackers themselves that are involved in our elections, or nobody. We're not on any national radar at all as far as hacking into our system to try and change the outcomes of our local elections, or national elections for that matter. I think we're worried about a lot of things that are just superfluous to what we're trying to do and that we could just move forward expeditiously and cheaply and do e-voting and offer the paper ballot like we've all agreed to and talked about repeatedly with a company like Carolyn was talking about. These people are eons ahead of our technology thinking. They've worked these things out. We're batting about ideas that we have now that they figured out years ago. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
This is Kim. I'd like just a quick comment.
Okay, go ahead, Kim, and then myself.
Hank, KPFK's website gets hacked about twice a year, and it has to be rebuilt. And it has been, like, for years. I don't know about the other stations or National or AudioPort or KPFDX, but KPFK, it happens. So,
it's a shortcoming in our technology.
Excuse me, Bob, you got 30
Whatever.
Seconds.
Whatever.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
Whatever. But to say that we're not a target, it's just not, it's not fact.
Okay, all right, let me call on myself. I just want to go back to Janet's idea about making the language in the letter a little more clear, that there's an added thing we want from people providing these services if we ask for those services. So I would propose to be very specific that in that sentence that now reads, convert each accepted e-ballot to a line in a text ballot file for input into tally program as above, we simply add the phrase, which is directly out of what Janet wrote, and create an e-ballot print file for each e-ballot. So is there any objection to adding that phrase to the letter, but other than that, using the letter as it is? Okay, hearing none.
You're proposing adding what phrase in place of all the language that Janet offered?
Okay, I'll read it again. The current language, which would still be there, but just for context, says, convert each accepted e-ballot to a line in a text ballot file for input into Tally program as above. And then my amendment would simply add this phrase, and create an e-ballot print file for each e-ballot.
Okay, thank you. No objection. No objection from me.
All right. Any objection from anyone? Okay, hearing none.
Janet K. Point of information?
Yes.
Would you please email that out to us?
I was just about to.
So okay, thank
you. If there's no objection, the letter will be changed. I'll after the call, I'll actually insert it into the full-length letter so you have a clean copy that you can use from scratch and, that you can use as is. And remember that there's a space in there to add your name so that it's personalized. It's not just a generic letter from whoever. So remember to do that when you're forwarding it to your local nonprofits. Okay, so we're out of time on this, and we've
right.
resolved that issue for now. So let's move on to the next
Bob,
item.
Bob, this is Margie. I'm sorry. I apologize. I meant to say at the beginning of the meeting that I have another meeting, and I have to leave this call at about 10 after 7, and which is 15 minutes from now. So anyway.
Oh, okay. No, thanks
I
for the heads up.
I wanted to let you all know that, and I apologize.
Okay. And by the way, the next item is next steps on cost-cutting measures and whether to draft a request for proposals for balloting and tabulation. So if you, Margie, want to, weigh in on that now or you want to just wait?
I want to wait.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. But, if you're about to leave and you need to say something, just let me know. Okay. So this is pretty much an open discussion as to how we can cut costs. Obviously, the e-balloting has been put forward as one option. There are many other options. So we have 30 minutes, and I'll just open the floor on the topic in general. But one thing I'll caution you in advance is that if someone makes a specific suggestion, I would like us to spend time focusing on that before we just jump to some totally different suggestion. So let's try to stay focused on one topic at a time. So I'll guide the discussion accordingly. But at the moment, the floor is totally open to wherever people want to go on cost cutting. Let me try it more specifically. Part two of this was whether to draft a request for proposals for balloting and tabulation services, which we did in 2012. We sent it out to companies that we knew of. I think there were five of them we knew of, and we asked them if they wanted to bid. I believe it was three of them submitted bids. Well, one was just to be the NES, and the other was for the balloting and tabulation, and then we recommended one to the then ED, and she picked the company, which, as we all know, was Election Services Corporation, and and there was a lot of money involved. So that's what we did last time. Is there what are people's thoughts on whether we should go that route again with the request for proposals or an RFP?
Fantastic.
Any thoughts? Really? No one has a thought?
This is Ron. I have a thought.
I'm sorry, who's this?
This is Ron. I have a thought.
Okay, go ahead.
So, the Election Services Corporation, the people that tabulated votes the last time, there was a lot of deficiencies and a lot of, not just deficiencies, but a lot of really gaping holes in the way those votes were tabulated, the way they were collected. And I think some of that has to do with a lot of the lists aren't clean. And I don't know if we're going to get to that as well. There was just a lot of inadequacies, I think is probably a better word, in terms of the way they tabulated the ballots this last time. So that's something to be aware of, too, and factoring and making decisions in terms of who would tabulate the votes.